Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Please be advised that Little Miss Recap contains adult language.
Welcome to Little Miss Recap, the podcast where we talk about Christopher, the most annoying kid in the Pacific Northwest, not just in Virgin River.
I've decided that he looks like a tiny Justin Bieber.
Kind of.
Doesn't he?
I have that he looked like somebody too, but I forget who I was thinking of, but you're right.
It's a little baby Biebs.
He is. He's the most annoying person. Stay out of the kitchen. Stop trying to do adults' jobs.
I know. And like, stop, like, preacher, stop inviting him to make pancakes, you fucking asshole. Don't you have other things to do?
He's trying to bang Paige, but it's like, stop using this annoying kid to do it.
I know. It's so gross.
I hate this kid. Part of the reason I hate Preacher so deeply is because his association with Christopher.
I know. It's so sick. I hate him. Why do I hate a child?
There's going to be a few things we learned today, guys. First of all, I just want to issue a trigger warning. There is pregnancy loss in this episode. There's a lot of trauma around birth and infertility and postpartum depression. So like if that kind of stuff triggers you, this is a good one to skip.
It is dark. Yeah, it's dark.
So I want to put that out there. Number two, I forget what I was going to say.
I mean, number two, Christopher's the most annoying kid on the planet.
No, goodbye. I know what it was. If you are a HIPAA code enforcer, you might want to look away as well, because HIPAA laws don't exist in Virgin River.
No, they absolutely don't.
Because not only when you have postpartum depression do people not leave you alone, keep knocking on your door, but they bring the town.
Yeah.
They bring the town.
They bring the whole fucking town.
Jesus.
I know. And like, how wild is it that like this one town is relying so much on Mel sticking around? Like, when is a town going to need me like that?
The whole town is going to fall apart if she doesn't stay. Well, God. It's so funny, like, to go back and watch this, because we just forgot, like, how Jack instantly had the hots for her.
I know.
I mean, I understand that she instantly had the hots for him. Who amongst us wouldn't?
Right.
But he was, like, all into her, even though he had a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Which... when I rewatched this again for like the 100th time, I was like, God damn it. Every time that fucking Charmaine comes out of the woodwork, I'm like, oh.
Charmaine is like a ghoul that just slinks out from behind you. So guys, today we're talking, I'm Amy Archer. I'm here with my co-host Steph, and we're talking Virgin River, season one, episode three, And Found. So last episode was called Lost. This one is called And Found.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So clever.
So we open up with Mel confronting Lily. You were correct. It was breastfeeding.
I told you.
I totally missed that. I thought she was just giving her a bottle. And I was like, okay, well, that's innocuous.
Oh, no. But she was breastfeeding. Full okay. on, like, titty out breastfeeding. Because she had that spooey.
But I would like to tell, like, you can breastfeed another person's child.
Yes.
Like, that is possible. Like, that wasn't 100% proof that the kid was hers.
Amy. Come on.
I'd be running the DNA really test in there.
I think you really live in Virgin River.
Virgin River science. So Mel confronts Lily. Lily runs the fuck out of there. She's like, gotta go. Yeah, tucks gotta, the boot back in and takes off. And Mel's like, wait a minute, you should know I called social services and they're coming tomorrow to take custody of Chloe.
Dun, 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 dun.
So Doc walks in and he's like, Mel is, let's reenact this. Ready?
Oh, no. Oh,
You be Doc and I'm going to be Mel in a switch. Okay? Okay. So your role here, I want you to find the character. Your role is you're just a doubting Thomas. You're just a huge dick bag who doesn't believe a word I say.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to be Mel, the unassuming, optimistic, hopeful nurse practitioner of Virgin River.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, hey. No, you have to come in first and be all aggressive.
Hey, Mel, you're still in my fucking clinic. Why are you in my clinic? Didn't I fire you?
Hey, Doc, I just want you to know, I think.
Why are you even talking? Don't talk in my clinic. You're an idiot. This is my clinic. Stop talking.
I think.
Get out of here. I fired you.
I think Lily is Chloe's mother.
You don't know what you're talking about. She
no,
belongs,
I really do.
No, she belongs to someone else on the pot farm. Get out of here. You've been fired.
No, Doc,
you're
listen
fired.
To me. Listen
get
to me.
Get out.
Put that gun down. Put that gun down.
Get out. Don't make me pull the trigger. I'm going to pull the trigger. Get out of my clinic. You don't know. We do what we want in Virgin
listen
River.
Listen to me. Her nipple was literally in the baby's mouth.
Do you know how many people have put nipples in mouths in this town? This is Virgin River. We have our own laws. We have our own rules. You're in my clinic. You do what I say.
Doc,
this kid,
down.
This kid
down.
Is a ward of the clinic, not of the state. You're fired.
And see, that's how it went.
I know.
Like, Mel had to basically be like, her boob was in the baby's mouth. I know. Jesus.
But so, I also think, I mean, she is past the age, like the child rearing age. So I do see how like somebody might have been like.
This is where I struggle too.
Like, I know, but like I think we're meant to like assume that these women are retired postmenopausal, right?
That's, I don't know. She seemed to me to be maybe, this is another thing that
I know.
As we get older is really troubling
I know.
Me, is I would think she was 55 years old. Like just based on. You know, shows have certain generations of characters,
of
right?
Of course.
So Mel and Charmaine and those guys and Jack are like the younger generation.
Correct.
And then you have the older generation, like the right. Hope and the Doc. And I would put Lily in that with them.
Well,
but she's not. She's like 40.
But she's not. I think she's really like 60. Like, I can't figure it out. I don't know.
I don't know.
Of it makes any sense.
So we go to Jack and Charmaine's and it's the day after they're banging. And Charmaine is like, come back to bed, lover.
Yeah.
Come to bed, Laura Brown.
I'll make it worth your while.
And Mel is calling Jack and he's like, muting it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can make you breakfast in bed. Oh, I was thinking I could spend the night at your place next Friday. It's our 2-year anniversary. I just wrote, God, this is hard to watch.
And he's her like, throwing, I gotta go. I gotta
her
go.
Throwing herself at an unavailable man. I mean, this was so
I mean,
much
it's
me.
Kind
so
of like me. Watching you circa
100%.
2003.
Circa my entire life. 100%. So he's like, I don't want to do anniversaries. That's not what this is. And he leaves. Now, I think in the history, in the text of Virgin River, we tend to overlook what a douchebag move this is by Jack.
It's a big dickbag move.
It really is.
Like, they set it up so that we hate Charmaine, but we don't, like, in defense of Charmaine, like, did he do her dirty?
Yes.
Yeah, I
yes.
think he did.
Yes.
I think he did.
It's wild.
Or are we led to just believe that she... They had this like open sort of casual relationship and she tried to force it to be something that it wasn't.
Well,
I don't
that's
know.
So I'm going to give pro tip to the two men listening to our podcast.
There are no men listening.
And I say men because we see this happen often in male-female dynamics and heteronormative relationships, but mm-hmm. it can happen in any type of relationship.
Sure, sure.
If one partner doesn't seem to get the memo that this is casual, then you break it off.
Right.
Because it's not fair to them.
I know.
And he should have broken up with her then, period.
I know. And like so how weird. Fucked up. We've all been in this situation too.
Of course we have.
Isn't it
of
messed course. Up?
Yeah. Yes.
Ugh. I hate
so,
it.
He says, I don't do anniversaries, I leave. Now we go to Mel, Doc, and Hope, and they're all fighting again. This is getting old, the bickering.
I know, it's annoying.
Hope is trying to, like, referee Mel and Doc, and she says, we need to keep this hush-hush. Like, we can't let anybody know Lily is this baby's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She says, we need to talk some sense into her. This is not her. A secret pregnancy, giving up the baby. Again!
Uh-huh.
Ambushing the mother who gave up her child is not a good answer here, guys.
It's Virgin River, Amy.
I will say this. There are 95 reasons why I would want to live in Virgin River. Jack is one of them.
Yes.
Jack's bar is the second.
The second.
But
about Brady? Where is he on the list?
Brady is, he's negative one because he's so up top.
Oh.
So, like Truly Grace Brown, here's the pyramid. Jack's at the top of the pyramid. Brady is the pyramid floating above the pyramid on the back of the dollar.
Okay. So he's like the halo.
Yes, exactly.
Hmm.
But when it comes to anything medical, I would not want to be in this town because I feel like everyone would know.
They do know.
They would basically know all about my Hashimoto's. They would probably know my height and weight. Like, it would be all over the town.
Jesus. My Ehlers-Danlos.
God.
Oh, yeah.
So Mel says, you know, this could be postpartum depression. And Doc says, well, look, Chloe's going to be placed in temporary foster care. And he says, once she enters the system, we're going to have a hard time getting her out, which is true.
It's probably true. Yeah.
It is probably true.
Mm-hmm.
So Hope says she being Lily, has grown children, one of which is Carly Simon. We'll mm-hmm. meet her in later seasons, and right?
25 years later.
Mm-hmm. She does have grown children. And Mel says, yes, that's a kinship placement and that could work. We learn that Lily's husband, Buck, has mm-hmm. died. R.I.P.
Like 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do Mel we know says, why?
Do you know that happened to my grandfather?
What?
Yes, my grandfather. He is one of six children, and his mother was pregnant with his little brother when his father died.
Oh.
And she had to, like, raise all of them by herself.
That's really sad, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. He had miner's lung. What is it called?
Oh,
black lung?
Black lung. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so my grandfather was, like, six. And then she was pregnant with another one. And then she had four other ones.
Oh,
it was crazy. It was crazy.
That's terrible.
And then not to go down the hole here, but I'm going to tell my family history. The way it was told to me, and this is coming from my grandmother, so I don't know if it's 100% accurate.
Up for debate.
So she had to go on assistance.
Okay.
Because she was, you know, a single mother raising six children. And then when her parents died, so this is my great-grandmother I'm talking about. Her parents had a lot of money. They had the first car in Scranton. They owned the first car in Scranton.
Really?
And they had a lot of money. When they died, she inherited some of it, like whatever her fraction of it was.
Okay.
And she had to pay it all back, and she lost it all.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. So.
What the hell?
And then we've been impoverished ever since.
That's terrible.
I know. Isn't that really sad?
Fuck that.
So anyway, so this, you know, I feel for Lily, like she's grieving and she's having a baby. Like, holy fuck, that's a lot.
So, which is also why I can't think that she's 40 if she has grown children that aren't living at home.
Well, they could be 20. I mean, Timmy wasn't living at home when he was 18.
I wasn't either, but
yeah.
She's making it such a big deal, though, that her children are grown and this is like a weird.
So she could be. Let's be honest. You could have a baby. It's rare, but you could up to 45.
Yeah.
So she could be 43. It could happen.
Amy, I'm 43 right now.
I'll be 47 this year.
I'll be 44 in a week and a half.
And if I ever got pregnant right now, I would not be happy about it. Let's just say that.
No, I would not either. I mean, I would be really confused because I don't even have a uterus. So.
Well, I would be really confused because not only am I 47, but Timmy has a vasectomy.
Yeah.
So it would cause all sorts of issues, I think, in my life. Yeah.
Same.
So, all right. So they're trying to decide what to do with this baby. And Mel's like, look, I'm going to talk to Lily. And Doc's like, I think you've done enough.
Okay. All right, sir.
Now, the only people cleared to step in are licensed healthcare providers. So they all turn and look at Mel.
Mm-hmm.
And Mel walks out. And Hope tells Doc, you need to hire her back immediately because we need her to navigate these women and their emotions and their hormones.
Somebody help me understand. This town has been in existence for God only knows how long, and no one has ever dealt with a pregnant woman before.
Well, no one has ever dealt with postpartum depression. It's very common.
Very common. But I
had it. It's very common.
You did?
I did. I had it for like a brief stint. And I never got help for it, but I know that I had it.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why am I learning about this on a podcast?
Well, like after I had my girls, right? I just literally would sit around and like cry and cry and cry and just be really sad for like weeks.
Amy.
And I was like, what is going on? And like in retrospect, I'm like, I think I had it. Like a little bit of it.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
It last long and I probably should have gotten help, but. Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
But
for
I know people
me.
In my life who've had it.
Yeah, I know me too.
Badly. Is that badly?
Badly, yeah. I think so.
Sure.
In my
But it's like uneducated. It's very common is my point here.
Exactly.
How did he never counter this? There's no town therapist. We know that.
I know. I know. But that's what I don't understand. He's supposedly like the town doctor, the town obstetrician, the town pediatrician.
Maybe that's when they send them to
Clear River.
Clear River.
They send them down the river right on a raft.
I
Jack rafts. He rows them on a gondola down to Clear River.
When I was growing up, my family doctor like did everything for my parents. Like
so
my mother
strange.
Would go to him for her annual exam. She would go to him for like mental health care. She would go to him. And I'm like, looking back, I'm like,
We wonder. Hell went wrong.
So at the cabin, now we're back at the cabin. Jack is all aggro, busting through walls. I mean, he is just, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's taking down a load bearing wall.
Yeah. I don't understand what he was doing.
Here's the thing. When you take down all the walls in a space, which we know they have done here.
Yes.
You need supporting beams.
Right.
I don't see those going up. I don't see what's happening.
It's Virgin River. That's true. Fucking magical. It just holds up by the love of the town.
It's very true. And they have that beautiful double-sided fireplace in the middle. Yeah.
It's held
the magic
up by
the
love.
Town holds it up.
It's held up by love.
So Ricky's there. And Ricky's being like...
Ricky's being a real bro, which is so fucking weird to me.
Yes, thank you.
Because
I couldn't think of it.
He was not... He's not a bro in any other moment in this show. So, like, they decided after this episode, the writers were like, no, he's not going to be a bro anymore. That didn't really fit.
He's not going to be a bro, and Doc's not going to be a huge dickbag.
Right?
We're going to change these two characters.
Yeah, like, truly.
Well, Ricky keeps calling Mel hot. Now,
hot.
I want to talk about this for a second. Mel is a beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at Mel, I'm not like, oh my God, that smoke show. Like, I'm just not. It's not like Angelina Jolie in her prime is walking through the town.
Amy, have you taken a look around at the rest of the people in Virgin River? It's the knitting club.
And I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying she's not hot to many people, but the way this town talks about her. It's like you would swear, like,
well,
I don't know,
right.
Who's a supermodel? Cindy Crawford, current references only, has walked in.
Right.
In 1994.
Agreed. But I do think the town is kind of stuck in, like, 1994 when, like, there's four people that live there.
So the other women are Paige.
Which?
Connie. Joellen. Liddy. But there's, what's her name? Charmaine.
Charmaine's not from Virgin River, though. She's from the other town.
That's right.
She's across the river. Is she from Clear River? I can't remember.
She's
but
probably
she's
from the wrong side of the river.
She is. She's from the wrong side of the river.
That's why I relate to her so much.
Same. Mm-hmm. She's the one that had like the sleazy mom. Like,
yeah,
you know what I
you're
mean?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
No, she is from the wrong side of the river.
So Ricky's like, that Mel, oh, I wouldn't give to break a piece of her ass off. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love her. I want to stick my dick in her. And Jack is like, hey,
tap that
she
ass.
Is a nurse practitioner. We need to respect her.
Respect her authority.
So now Jack heads over to the bar. Mel comes in and she tells him, guess what? I'm peacing out because I got fired over doing my job.
But wait. Does Jack, do you want me to talk to Doc for you, Mel?
I
what?
Know.
What?
What?
Amy.
Well, then he's like, so Jack isn't real good with boundaries. Because then he's like.
There are none.
Right. Then he's like, none. I'm picking you up in an hour. Be fucking ready. And I'm not going to lie. Part of this is hot to me.
I know.
But the other part is like.
Yeah. Part of it's like, God, somebody please do my dirty work at work because I don't want to do it. But at the other hand, I'm like, who the fuck? You've known me for 13 seconds. I've been here overnight. What are you talking about?
Okay. So here we're going to get into the kind of tense,
right.
Dark stuff.
Okay? But this is also where the timeline starts to not make any motherfucking sense. So just true. Hold on. Because is it 12 weeks? Is it 12 minutes? Is it 12 days? There's no way to know.
So we get a flashback of Mel giving birth. Mm-hmm. And Hottie Mark is there.
Right, which is apparently a couple of years ago, she says, at some point.
Oh, does she say that?
Yeah, she does. Because oh. I always thought that it was very recent.
Me too.
Oh, but no, it's not.
No. Can I spoil this? Guys, jump ahead if you don't want to hear this.
I mean, it's a rewatch. Everybody should know we spoil. Amy spoils everything, so just go
jump
for
ahead
it.
If you don't want to hear this. The accident with the husband happened right before she came to Virgin River.
Right.
That was the precipitating event that sent her to Virgin River. Because remember, their fight in the car was over trying for another baby.
Yes. I forgot about that, though.
Okay. So Mel is staring off into space. And Joey calls. I just imitated it, guys. And Joey calls. And her and Joey have this real antagonistic relationship, too, that, like, is unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, it's real big sister, little sister energy, though.
Mel tells her, I might be fostering Chloe. And Joey's like, that's a horrible idea. You're not thinking rationally. You're an asshole. I hate you.
I mean, and it's kind of how you and I talk to each other sometimes.
Joey's like, this is not your responsibility. This is me yelling at you.
I know.
Take this on. It's not your responsibility. Put up a boundary.
This is exactly my point. Yes.
So she says, I was there with you start to finish. I helped you pick up the pieces. And Mel says, how can I forget when you constantly remind me how broken I am?
Which is kind of true, Aim. So, yeah.
And then I wrote, would social services grant custody of a baby to a nurse practitioner living in a B&B?
Probably not.
Like, she's just living in a one bedroom. There's a shared bathroom.
Yeah.
The husband we hear is grabby.
I know. I forgot about that.
Jack is now making some gourmet peanut butter and jelly. I'm here for this.
Same.
Why Hope needs to nose in and quote unquote fix this?
I don't know.
Stay out of the kitchen, Hope. You and Christopher, go for a long walk off a
short pier. Oh my God. I can't make this up. Amy, let's talk about, though, how much I love a really good peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Who doesn't? And it looked like he had it on, like, crusty artisan bread. Like, fuck off, Hope.
Yeah, seriously.
Jesus.
Get in my belly.
So I just wrote, Brady comes in, and he has no idea what food serve laws are because he thinks that you could just put a bucket of lemons there and let the patrons pluck them out with their dirty hands. Oh, my God. Did I ever tell you the story? I got to try and make this pretty generic.
Oh, no.
Someone in my life.
God. Is this about me?
No, but you know that I am an olive addict, correct?
I do know this, yes.
You put a jar of olives in front of me and they're going to just disappear.
Here's how I know this. There are times that Amy will call me and be like, my hands are so swollen. I feel so swollen. I'm like, did you eat olives again? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, half a jar.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
So one time I was making a cheese plate and I had the olives out and we had company and somebody was here. And this person reaches with their bare hands, and their hands are not clean, right into my olive jar and starts plucking them out. And I almost had a heart attack.
Oh, no.
Because I had to throw the whole thing out. Because why wouldn't you? But no, the idea of people, like strangers, just putting their hands in to a... No.
No, mm-mm. I don't even do that in my own house, let alone in someone else's.
When I'm drunk, I tend to be real loosey-goosey with the sanitation. But if I'm sober, and no, it's not happening.
I guess the question is, was this person sober? And would they have done it drunk?
They would have done it sober or drunk.
So it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Correct. Okay. So now Preach reads them for Felt. He's like, you moron. We can't have guests just sticking their hands in the lemon thing.
Can I just tell you, though, again, fuck off, Preacher. Just fuck off, motherfucker.
Preacher sits down with Paige and Christopher. And Christopher starts bugging him to make pancakes.
Ugh, baby beeps. Christopher, can we make pancakes? Like, fuck. So
Preach is going over a dessert order with Paige, and he tells her he needs to start paying her by check. And she's like,
How about you write yourself a check and cash it and then give me the cash?
That's some shady shit, doing. He's like, my accountant is not going to let me write myself checks out of my business account and cash them.
Here's something I didn't understand, though.
Okay.
Whose restaurant is this? Is it his? Or I was always under the impression that it was Jack's.
But Preacher has a stake in it, doesn't he?
I didn't think that came until much later. That's why I was confused by this. Yeah,
you could be right. So Preacher might be the manager, and if that's the case, then he would still handle the payroll.
Okay. Yeah. I just hate him. And the fact that he's in charge of anything pisses me off.
Hey, everyone. Stay tuned. Little Miss Recap will be right back after these words.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So she has no checking account, nor does her business. And I'm like, dude, she's not running a conglomerate. It's a cupcake truck. She doesn't need a business checking account. She's a cupcake truck in Virgin River. Should she have a banking account? Absolutely. But, like, it's not like Bill Gates is like, I don't have a bank account set up for Microsoft. Yeah. Like,
it's kind of like, do I need a bank account to sell my soap? Those, like, 12 bars of soap that I sold? Nah, probably not.
So he's like, okay. And Connie walks over, and she's, like, all judgy about the woman who abandoned her baby. Mm-hmm. And Paige is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Guys, pro tip. If you're playing a game of Clue or you're trying to solve a murder mystery, okay? The person who stands up for the criminal or the person who you're trying to figure out, that's the guilty one.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the person who abandoned their baby is a criminal. I'm just saying if you're trying to figure out someone's identity and somebody stands up and is like, well, I can see their point of view real clear.
Yeah.
That's probably
something's
wrong.
That's probably your person. Something's a little wrong here.
So Paige is like, women do crazy things. You know, women be crazy.
Women be crazy. Maybe she needs a Castor Pal.
Maybe
women be shopping.
Women be shopping. So Doc and Hope are now chatting in a whisper about Lily. I know. And about how bad this is. And Hope is like, you need to ask Mel. And Doc is like, she doesn't respect my authority. And Matt Hope Lorca. Says, you used to admire women who thought for themselves. Really? This douchebag?
Yeah. Like, what?
I can't wait till we get to the point where Doc is normal, because this is
I know. Annoying. And this is what I have, like, going back and watching this, I'm really glad that we're doing this rewatch, truly, so that we can talk about this shit. Because
I mean, me too, for many reasons.
Yes, of course. But, like, how they started this show and where it is now is nowhere. Like, these characters don't ring true to anything. Like, they just don't.
It's just,
like, what happened to Doc that he's like a horrible human being now?
So one thing we have to remember is this is from a book. And as a writer, I can tell you, sometimes you have to make things way more pronounced in a book because you don't have the nuance of acting, right?
Correct, yeah.
So, like, Doc in the books was probably real harsh. And I think they just overcorrected and put the same type of character on the screen.
Yeah.
But, like, you just dial it down a little bit. Like, there's more – it's more subtle.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Knock it off. Yeah. It's weird. So I think it's a book to screen translation issue.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm just, I get
it. So Mel and Jack and Chloe are on their forced picnic.
Yeah. Which, Amy, we need to talk. It's beautiful. I needed to, we need to take a minute to
talk about how they walk away from the baby and how they leave a baby.
Thank you for reading my mind. Mm-hmm. Who brings a baby on a date in a hayfield and just leaves it there?
At the edge of a river.
At the edge of a river. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, aren't there wolves or, like,
you just don't walk away animals? From the baby, guys. You just, not that far. They're pretty far.
It was weird.
And this
it
is an weird. Infant.
An infant. Yeah. I, by, like, I a running, too, like, by water.
And I think the fact that the baby's, like, on the ground is what bothered me. Like,
I know.
A snake could come in.
A snake, yes. Or, like I said, a dingo ate my baby.
This reminds me of, like, I always get real creeped out. We're doing Sister Wives rewatches on Patreon, and it freaks me out when I see Truly and I see one of the other kids
carrying
her as a
baby. I know.
And her head is, like, flopping around. You're like,
I know.
Okay.
I know.
So they're talking about how cool and confident Mel is and how she moved to Virgin River all by herself. And Jack says,
big girl,
you went head to head with the world's crustiest boss and you're impressive. Now Jack goes, Hope told me that Lily's the mother. Mel's like, what?
I know.
What about HIPAA violation?
I know. None of that matters. It's Virgin River. Nope. I mean, walls are held up by love. And rules are held up, like, by no one.
Jack's like, she didn't mean anything by it. What's a little, you know, confiding your medical secrets between friends? I mean, what's the big deal? So she tells Jack she's thinking of becoming Chloe's temporary guardian. And then Mel goes, like, this job is nothing I expected. It's really fucking wild. And I don't feel like I'm ever going to belong in this town. I could see going from, like, L.A. to this would be
a huge culture shock for sure.
I mean, I would still pick this.
It's like going – true, but it's truly like going back in time.
I would pick it, though.
Same.
100%.
I would even pick it right now. Like, if you said to me, pack your bag, I'm on my way for you right now, we're going to Virgin River, I'd be on my porch waiting for you before I could even –
And let
Turn
me tell
this
you something.
Screen off.
With the lack of eligible women in that town, we would have our pick.
We would be hot.
We would maybe go in and they'd be like, look at those fives walking in here.
Yeah. Dude, I just figured out how I'm going to turn hot before I die.
Wait. There's an invisible barrier all around, like a force field around Virgin River. And when you're a five and you walk through it, become
a bong. Inch. Bong.
So now we get a flashback. Now we get a flashback. And this is grim. Okay. This is dark.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Okay. Let's pull ourselves together for the serious moment.
All right.
So Mel has lost the baby. And Mark asks Mel if she wants to hold the baby. You shouldn't say that. I hate that phrasing, lost the baby, because it implies the mother did something. The baby is born stillborn. Mm-hmm. And Mark asks Mel if she wants to hold the baby. Mel says no. She's crying. She's like, what did I do? He says it was placental abruption and there wasn't anything they could do. And I guess that you would know more than me, but that's when the placenta separates from the
womb. Yeah. The
uterus. Does that happen during birth? So, like, there's really nothing
I think
you could do?
It can happen either, like, like before or, like, it can happen, I think, at any time. But I think it's more common to happen towards the end.
So this is like a real condition that's still claiming the lives of many infants.
Sure, sure.
Which is wild.
And mothers.
I had never even heard of it. Yeah, and mothers. So Mel says, you know, she just can't breathe. And Mark's like, we almost lost you in there. And the now, my only criticism of this scene, which I have to be the dick to say it, is Mel looks perfectly fine with all her makeup intact.
I know.
Does not look like she has just come out of a life-saving event.
Right. Or like a traumatic experience.
Yeah, she looks fine. She looks fine.
It truly looks fine.
Kind of wild. Mm-hmm. Okay. They could have like made her a little gruffed her up or something. Sweated, like a little sweat on her.
Yeah. I don't know. A little matted, dirty hair like we all do when we're in the hospital.
Yeah. But this was hard to watch. It was.
It was tough.
It was tough. So back in present day, Jack gives Mel a pep talk. And the baby, who they just kind of leave off to the side, starts crying. Like, remember me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, bitches, dingo's coming. See the dingo?
Jesus. I mean, you don't know. Charmaine could pop in there and try to steal the baby.
Charmaine
don't
is the dingo.
Don't you watch soap operas? So Jack and Mel get back to the clinic, and Hope forces Doc to admit that he needs Mel's help with this woman trouble.
Whoa. Mel like, we've never heard of that before.
Mel says, I will help you. And Doc says, well, you can't make it any worse. Again, he says this. He's such a dickbag.
Fucking asshole.
Now, Jack has to get involved and intervene in this. Now, I want to say something. Doc's name is Doc Mullins. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Vernon.
I kept seeing it as Doc McStuffins.
What? Of course you did. Doc McStuffins.
And I thought that would be a very different job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now Jack loads up the car with Hope, Mel, and Chloe, and they're going to go do like an intervention on Lily and her PPD.
What?
Not how it works.
What?
Not how it works.
And
it's
why
not how
does
any
it,
of this works.
No. And like Mel doesn't try to stop this. Like she's going along with it.
No. Mm-mm.
This part of the show pissed me off. I'm not going to lie.
I have can't lie. I'm going to read verbatim what I have here.
Oh, no.
Mel knocks on the door and is like, ding dong, you have postpartum depression. Uh-huh. But that is what she does.
I know.
Like, Lily answers the door. She's Mel's basically like, you have postpartum depression. Yeah.
We can save you with medication and therapy. You can be saved.
And now
and she's
does-
literally like reading from a cue card. What is it? Yeah.
Cue card.
Like now, Brennan.
Now she does a sneak attack with Jack and the baby.
I know. He's like, oh, she's like, look what I have. And he comes scurrying around the corner holding
she's
like,
what? You bring the whole fucking town?
Yeah. She's like, you bitch. I left that baby for a reason because I didn't want it.
I know.
Don't bring it back here. It's not a boomerang.
This is being, as many of you guys know, I had a stint as a mental health writer. I've written articles on postpartum depression. I know people who've lived through it.
Yeah.
This is not what you do. I'm just going to say that.
But
Mel going out to her house by herself without the baby to have a discussion, fine.
Okay.
Not maybe. This part.
No.
You don't bring Jack and the baby.
No.
And be like, and ding dong, you need help.
Yeah, ding dong, you're like, that's, here's your diagnosis. No. Ding dong, I have a diagnosis. How do I get so that wild. To happen?
So wild. But again, guys, if you're listening, I just want to tell you, it gets better. It gets better. Like some of this stuff in the beginning is ridiculous.
It gets better and then it gets worse in other. No, this is why it's great, because it's terrible.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Don't sell something. Don't write checks where our asses can't cash. No, it doesn't get better.
It gets better in that the characters find their footing, I feel like.
Right. And it
Doc gets,
better.
Mel gets a little better.
Well, they develop character as they go
and
on.
And they just get better.
The story continues
you're 100%
to be horrible.
You're 100% right.
But that's why we love it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I wrote, Preacher and Paige show up and they are at the bakery truck and he's here to talk pies and to assure her that he will continue to pay her in cash. And I just wrote, how much are we talking?
I know.
We're talking maybe 3 pies a week he buys off her. What is that, $60? Christopher could afford that. Jesus Christ. What is happening here? You can't just take it out of your tip money at the end of the night and just give it to her?
Amy, Christopher flips enough pancakes to pay for this shit.
Jesus.
Like, they could do this all on trade. Like, no one needs to know any child labor could have this solved.
So little dude, Christopher, because that's what Preacher calls him.
Please, little dude. I know. Little Biebs.
Little
Can
Dud.
Can we just call little him Biebs? Dud
Christopher comes around now. And he wants to open up the kitchen for him. Now, I worked in the food industry.
Me you too.
Worked in the food yes. industry. Opening is a big deal.
Yes, it doesn't just happen.
You don't want this idiot kid around.
No, and it's dangerous. No.
I wrote, this kid is a grade A pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah. If there was an award to be given, he would win it.
Yes.
Remember 100%. When you thought that.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Go ahead.
I can't stop laughing. When you thought that Denny was the greatest actor on the show. I can't even control him. I'm crying so hard. I'm crying. He's the best actor on the show. No, he's not.
When I saw Ryan was hot. Like, why am I even here? Everything I say is wrong.
I'm actually crying tears.
Okay.
That was so funny.
So at Lily's, Hope wants to spend some time with the baby and Lily. And so Jack and Mel take a walk. Oh my God, she's crying, guys.
I'm actually crying. Sorry.
Listen.
I'm sorry.
There's not a lot of competition here, okay? I don't know who the best actor is. The best actor, if I had to ask you, who is the best actor in Virgin River, who would you say? Not the best character. Who's the best actor?
It's probably Doc, Jack. Right? I was going to say Jack.
Actually, I'm going to pull a random switcheroo here and say, I think it might be Hope.
It could be Hope.
She's a pretty good actress.
I'm actually really crying, you guys.
Okay. So Jack and Mel take a walk, and they're talking about the farm and how big it is. And Jack says, you know, when Buck died, a bunch of people tried to help, but Lily didn't want any of that. None of the kids want to stay. So she's basically alone on this farm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he gives his little warm message about family and friends helping people out. Mel's I think I need to lean on that a little bit more.
Isn't it amazing that he has all of this life experience, but he's really had no life?
Well, I mean, he was in the military.
But that's the only thing we know about him is that he's been in the military.
We don't know anything.
We know nothing.
Him. Yeah.
But true. He's full of all of this, like, wise, like, this wisdom and, like, life experience, knowledge. And he's a fucking train wreck.
That's something that totally would have swept me off my feet.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
So Mel finds a tire swing, and she talks about how her dream was to be a vet and to have an old farmhouse and to fill it with kids. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you better hurry up. You're like 40 years old. Because I looked it up. I think she's like 37, 38.
On the show or in real life?
In real life. How old? Let's look up how old she is in the show.
Oh, all right. Let's do it.
What's her name? Mel what?
Mel Monroe.
Yeah.
Like how Marilyn. Old
is Mel Monroe. Oh. Oh.
32.
The lead characters, Mel and Jack, are likely 32 and 40. Okay, the actress is like 40.
Yeah, but I mean, she can pass for 32.
Yeah, so now she has time. Okay. I thought she was like 37, 38. I'm like, you still need to get married. You still need to fall in love with someone. You still need to have a wedding.
According to IMDb, he is estimated to be about 10 years older than her.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've never dated anybody my own age. Yeah. I always go for the older guy.
I'm married to somebody my own age, but everyone can agree Timmy looked older. He's got the salt and pepper hair since he was like 30.
I mean,
now he's a full head of gray hair.
Never forget, hashtag never forget my wedding. 328. Yes,
where he peaked as Bon Jovi.
Hottest guy ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Jack says, well, you know, Mel, dreams are funny like that. They come true when you least expect them. Okay.
I can't.
Hope meets them on the porch and she's like, I don't know what's going on, Lily. She refused to call her daughters. We got to go. Mel's like, let me force myself on her one more time.
One more time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get a flashback. Mel's lying in bed. She's crying. You know, she wishes she didn't wake up. Like, it's dark. It's mourning the loss of her baby. She walks in now and Lily begs Mel to leave her alone. Mel will not. Because what do you do when someone begs you to leave them alone? You pursue. You persist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She tells Lily the story about losing her baby. And she says, you know, shit got dark. And she says, this is what postpartum depression is. Mel tells her, with therapy and medication, mm-hmm. you can get better. Mm-hmm. Lily's like, no, it's too late. Social services is on their way. This is like, do you remember? It was on The Price is Right.
Oh, The Price is Right.
There was the little do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, no, that's not the right music. It's a yodeler. Yodeling.
Oh, yeah, the little guy going up the mountain. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he'd go over the cliff if he'd been too high. Mm-hmm. That's, I feel like social services is on their way. So Mel offers now to watch Chloe until she gets on her feet, and Lily's hesitant. Now social services is here. Finally, the day has come. They have arrived. The man is in town.
This is where the episode went and exploded for me.
Yeah. It's I lost interest here. Doc, Hope, and Mel and Jack are in the kitchen. Why? Mm-hmm. Why do you have half the town there when social services is over? I don't know. Mm-mm. Hope's trying to eavesdrop. And when Doc refuses to help her, she tells him he's as helpful as tits on a bull. And I thought that was pretty vulgar for Virgin River.
I do too. And notice how when she said it, Mel and Jack, like no one even made like a flinch. Like that was like a normal thing to say. I'm like, I've
kind of weird. So they've determined that Tara, Lily's older daughter, will come and take guardianship of Lily. And Lily's like, I'm thankful and I'm going to keep the name Chloe because I'm going to remind her that a nurse helped her when I couldn't and blah, blah, blah.
Here, so are we ready to break that down so I can bitch about this scene? What pisses me off about this is how they made such a big deal about her having postpartum depression and they had to talk her down and all this help. And it was like a 5-minute conversation and she had her whole life straightened out.
Yeah. And like, there's no, I'm going to, does she say she's going to go to therapy or?
Yeah, she, there is a whole scene where she's like, okay, that's, social worker and I have figured out what we're going to do. Everything is fine now. I'm going to get better.
I mean, Walnut Grove. Everything
that happened in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What?
They figured out a plan. Yep.
It was wild. That's why I was like, get off my screen.
Tara is the other daughter, right? That's not Carly Simon.
No, Stevie Simon is the other one with the long hair.
Okay.
Tara's the one.
She has red hair?
Reddish hair. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now we see the scene where Doc and Hope are arriving home. And I just wrote, question, where does Hope live? Where does Doc live? But I think Doc's living at the clinic.
Yes.
And that's Hope what I is think. Living in this beautiful craftsman house, which
beautiful
is
house.
Gorgeous.
And what happens, though, as she's going doot, doot, doot up the little.
They have this conversation first. Mm-hmm. And we understand that there is something between them.
Right.
And then she gets out and she starts to walk up the stairs. She has some kind of attack.
Yeah, something happens. Doc she can't breathe.
Is this where she has the TBI?
I think it is.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We've had the TBI for 6 seasons.
Yeah, isn't it? No, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Never mind. No, it's not. No, it's not. I don't think it is. Because doesn't that come later? Do I want to spoil it?
Jump ahead, guys, a minute.
Doesn't
is that the car accident?
The car accident when she goes to visit the aunt during COVID.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
can't
she remember. goes to Florida or something ridiculous. Well,
she has a car accident though because she's driving with the TBI and she's not supposed to be.
Oh, then so maybe this we're might both be wrong. The TBI. This might be the TBI. Who knows? But I should know. I've watched this multiple times.
But how would that be a TBI if she's having a stroke? That wouldn't be traumatic brain injury, would it?
Well, it would be after the fact
first thing, or could it be from a stroke?
Well, I think a traumatic brain injury is just any kind of a
injury to your brain.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So Doc
like there's no such thing as like a nice brain injury versus a traumatic brain
injury. Right. I just didn't know if you had to hit your head on something for it to occur.
I mean, we could try it. Someone please help. Come put me out of my misery.
So Jack and Mel have a drink at the bar and she thanks Jack for his help. And he's like, can you do me a favor? Just stay.
Just stay.
And Jack says, I would miss you if you were gone. And he asks about her wedding ring. Mel says, I'm not ready to talk about that yet. Just as they're cozying up.
Uh-huh.
Ding dong. Your girlfriend's here.
Ding dong, a diagnosis.
Charmaine walks in and not only does she walk in, but she plants one right on him. Why wouldn't she?
I mean, I would.
And she's like, hi, I'm Jack's girlfriend.
And Mel is like, gasp.
Yeah. That's it, guys.
That's
the episode. We took a journey today.
We did. We unpacked a lot.
We did. I mean, it took me 48 minutes to get through a Virgin River episode.
I mean, it's a good time.
It's you guys, it's a good time. People, say what you want.
People are listening now.
They better be.
And starting to watch it and get on the train with
because
us.
Because it's great. And we've been saying it for like a year. It's about time.
Guys, once we're done with maths, we'll try to drop a few every Friday. But for right now, this week, we got maths. So we got to just do one. But once maths clears and we're waiting on the landing strip for the other season to start.
Right.
We'll knock out a few more of these.
Yes.
All right, guys, if you would like to support the show, please sign up for Patreon, Supercast, or Apple subscriptions. We talk about cults, soap operas, sister wives, and you get all of your episodes, this one included, ad-free.
Ad-free.
So you can sign up over there. You can check Steph and I out next week when we talk about MAFS, Where Are They Now, which looks
bonkers. Wild.
Oh, I did want to make a quick announcement that 90 Day Love in Paradise starts next week, and your first episode will be on the free feed so that you can try before you buy.
Nice.
So there's that. That's now, it.
Now, is that a show that I can jump into or no? Mm-hmm. I never remember.
Yeah, I think you can. There's no holdovers from the previous seasons.
All right. I'm going
in. It's pretty self-contained.
Yeah. What show is this? 90 Day
Love in Paradise.
All right, I'm on
it. Love in Paradise. Do you remember that song?
Almost Paradise.
Right. It's Almost Paradise, yeah.
We're walking on something.
When Penelope was little, that was her favorite song?
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Amy.
That I don't is know if I should cut sweetest. That. She might murder me if she hears it.
She doesn't know. Mm-hmm. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
My boys, when they were real small, their very first favorite song of all time was Born on the Bayou.
Oh,
isn't that funny?
Okay.
Like, what?
All right.
Born by
you. Samantha and Penelope always loved that song Harrisburg by Josh Ritter. And at one point they were like, this should be our family song. And it's all about like a guy abandoning his family.
Our family song.
So we always joke that it's our family song.
That's amazing.
Yeah. All right, guys. Jump in our Facebook group, Backdoor Friends. It's a lot of fun. And we'll see you soon.
Love your buns.
Bye.
Bye. Love your buns.
Almost Paradise.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.